Terrific. Okay, I'm going to do Teresa and then Juliet. I'm going to come back to you. Teresa says, what's your thoughts on sending a pup to go home on a flight in the cabin that's had their vaccination a day before? Would I be better off not to vaccinate the pup before leaving on the flight? No, I Teresa, is this, can you
Hello.
unmute? Hey there, how are you?
Hi. Good.
Is this the only vaccine you're giving, or is this the second one?
This is the first one.
And you can't move that vaccination up a day?
I would phone the vet on to see if I can get in Friday and do it Friday. And
Pups
then the pup
flying on Sunday or
Sunday.
Monday? Sunday. You know, 2 days would be ideal. One day is fine, assuming the pup does not have any kind of negative reaction. And if the negative reaction the puppy has is that it's sleepy, so much the better, which is a
Right.
really common reaction to vaccinations, as you know. So it isn't going to affect the puppy's ability to respond to the vaccine. The challenge always is the puppy not going to feel well after the vaccination? And then you're dealing with, you know, a puppy flying and not feeling well and all of that. Or the not that common, but does show up diarrhea, which would be very uncomfortable flying a puppy. How long is the flight, Teresa? Where are they?
It's
Do
cross
they?
Canada from Alberta to Prince Edward Island, so it's about
Oh
a
my gosh, that's about as far as you can get.
yep, it's pretty much yep.
And are these experienced owners?
They're friends of somebody taking the pup, so the people that are getting the pup doesn't have to come Alberta to get the pup, so let's hope so.
So really, I would say that the only main issue you have is going to be diarrhea.
Right.
And so if you can get it the Friday, that would be better because then you at
Right.
least have a day to deal with it. But you can always, you know, pack some Pepto-Bismol, pack some Benadryl for them, have the potty pack so that they can deal with it. And, you know, the vast majority of puppies go through their vaccinations fine, but there's always the ones that have a negative reaction. So
And
if you
yeah.
can move it up, I would.
Okay, well, I'll contact the vet tomorrow and see if I can get in. Just same old thing. Hard to get into vets these days if you don't book a month ahead, but
I know
maybe.
it's crazy, but maybe they could just do a tech visit. Now, he probably hasn't seen the puppies, has
No,
he or she?
I got to get
Yeah, so not going to get a
microchip
tech
and the whole
visit.
bit, right? So,
Yeah.
well, I could get the vaccination, and then when all the pups are going in for the microchip, we could do it then and do the other stuff. So yeah,
Yeah.
maybe I can get it in. Yep.
Yeah, just get that vaccine and then everything else can happen on Saturday.
Okay. Thanks for
Good
your.
luck.
And the other question is, can I send a pup without vaccination because I got a nomograph and they need to be done at 8 weeks and there's a possibility a better puppy's available, but it would be a whole week and I don't know if that's a good idea either.
You know, the vaccine, when you have a nomograph showing that the puppy isn't going to respond to the vaccine. The vaccine, when we give those vaccinations, it's for legal reasons and for legal protection.
Right.
That if something happens and the puppy gets parvo, you can say, hey, I gave it a vaccine. But if the nomograph's telling us it's not going to react to that vaccine, is it a terrible thing? I know we certainly have avidog breeders that don't give vaccinations before sending a puppy home because the nomograph says 10 weeks and they send them home at 9 weeks. A lot of it depends upon your provincial laws and what's required. And to a certain extent, it depends upon the owners and the risk that the puppy is going to be at. There's not much risk in an airplane. There's not much risk at an airport. The issue is always on the ground at either end when they may come in contact with the virus.
Okay. All right. I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Good luck.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Juliet. Hey.
Oh, okay. Now for the real question.
Now for your question.
I am just weaning to raw, and the puppies gained like between 5 and 9% of weight in one day.
I think they were ready to eat, huh?
Oh my gosh, they just stuck their face in it and they were like, ah. So am I feel like I'm feeding way too much because now they're kind of backing off on it a little bit. So I fed them 0.8 ounces for the first meal and then 1 ounce for the second meal the first day. But the information when I plugged it in said feed them 2.4 pounds. And that did not.
So,
go ahead.
Go ahead and finish that. And that did not.
That did not add up nearly to 2.4 pounds. So then today I fed them the remainder of their food left over from yesterday. And so I fed them like 1.5 ounces for breakfast. And then I fed them again in the afternoon. I fed them 1 ounce, I think, and they didn't really finish it. A couple of them did. Fats and Duke did finish theirs. But I've got a whole tub of food that they're supposed to eat from these numbers. And I'm just confused. Am I doing the numbers wrong? Are they really supposed to eat that? Is there a timing issue?
Yes, yes, yes. No, no, no. So often we'll find that first meal, one of two things happen. There's the ones that you feed that first meal and they're like, what the heck is that? I don't want to have anything to do with that. And they won't even touch it. And then there are others who say, where has this been my entire life? And they gorge themselves and they end up with those huge round bellies and they can hardly move because they ate so much. And then they begin to stabilize. And then they begin to sort of hit what is a more normal amount that they're going to eat. So remember that the raw feeding calculator is the maximum you're supposed to feed in a day. It is not the expected that they will eat in a day. It's the maximum because some people would just feed them, you know, whatever. And then they would be so engorged and uncomfortable. So that's the maximum.
Okay.
If they're not eating, you know, so if the calculator's saying 2.4 and they're not even eating a pound, then make 1.2. You can always make more if you have a thought. That's always right. The challenge with raw is, do you have a thought? And so anything extra, you can feed to mom, you can feed to your other dogs. Sometimes puppies will eat it over a couple of days, but often puppies are a little more finicky and they want the fresh stuff. So I usually just feed it to mom afterwards, who's happy to get it, and then make up new food for the puppies each morning. That's how I typically do it. But don't worry if they don't eat that maximum. Just that's going to be the most you're going to feed them, even if they beg you for more.
Okay. Because they would just be giant if I fed them that much food and they wouldn't be able to walk.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And that's when they give each other stomach aches and they end up getting diarrhea. So cut it back to whatever they're interested in. Okay. Sounds like they're eating, which is good.
Yes.
Not all of them do. So they're eating and, you know, cut it in half, but don't make any more than that.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
Perfect. Great.
I think that just totally answered the question.
Terrific.
All right.
Great. Good luck with them.
Thank you.
Yeah.
They're so cute.
So I have Starlet's question about any more information about the continuation of the Breeder College after 12/31/2021. I actually do have an update on that I haven't put out. And right now, this is sort of a constant negotiation. Not a bad negotiation, but we're just trying to get all kinds of systems in place and things like that. So right now, Breeder College is committed through April 1st of 2022 on Avadoc. And so there won't be any changes on Avadoc through the 1st of April 2022. My goal is to get it moved over to Good Dog. And it will still be available to all of you guys at least until 4/1/2022 right now. I don't know how the money's going to work yet. None of that's been worked out. But we have at least until 1 April. And then we'll go through the next step of trying to figure out where it's going to land and how it's going to be managed. So 4/1/2022 right now, 2022, that's kind of stunning to me. And really the reality is that once the whole team sort of looked at the amount of content that needs to move, they realized how difficult it's going to be to move it, get it reorganized, set it up, get it linked. So hopefully that's good news, but April 1st, 2022. And I'm hoping it'll be moved over to Good Dog sooner than that. We'll get you in. I'm not quite sure how that's going to work, but we'll get you in, I promise. And we will continue to sort of figure out what the merger's going to look like after that. All that technology stuff, just such a headache.
Will the Canadians be able to access that information?
Yes, that's the longstanding commitment. And I continue to press to get Canadians fully on the site. But yes, you will be able to access it even if you're not live yet on the site because Good Dog hasn't moved into Canada. You know, I know it's difficult and I know it's stressful, but if you think about a young startup that had like 6 months under their belt before COVID hit. It's just been tremendously difficult. And then last Monday, they opened their new offices and they closed them yesterday because of COVID in New York. So it obviously is like every other company trying to figure out what to do during the pandemic. And most of the employees are very young. And it's been really difficult on them, just like it's been difficult on the rest of us. So hopefully that at least comforts you for a few more months. And just know I'm working on it every day. I just don't have all the solutions yet. Okay, Marilyn. Yeah, hey, Kelsey.
So I went in to try to renew through the end of the year, but it was trying to charge me everything between now and then, even though my subscription still has several months left on it.
It'll be better if you don't even try. Macy might be able to make a coupon for you to reduce it, but it's a lot easier for us right now if you just wait until like the month before your subscription's gonna, and I know everybody wants to do it and I know you're trying to work ahead, but the system just doesn't have it right now. Okay. And so if you can wait, that would be great.
Okay.
We're gonna do everything in our power to make sure you don't miss it. And obviously we'll know if you miss it and we'll let you back in. but we just don't have the ability to do it right now. So you don't want to pay $187.50 or whatever it is, the full price.
Yeah, this is Celeste. Along those lines, kind of. one of these days, I'm going to have a litter again, and I'm going to have to. I know. Okay. When I do, I like to have everybody, all the puppy buyers and everything, get the puppy college. And I know that we can still get it at the $150 price and stuff, but how do I go about? I usually just send them out an email and say, go to this link and get it. Is it still that easy?
It's still that easy. It's one of the few things that is still that easy. Hang on, I'll pull up the...
Okay.
I thought there was a code too in the latest email we got.
Yeah, so you can do the $75 off and you'll get it.
If you purchase a bunch.
Correct. Oh, yeah, that's right. It went up to $235. So all you have to do is drop Macy a note and you guys do get it for the $150.
Oh.
Contact.
So do I have to go through and buy it for everybody?
No.
Again?
No. Do you still give...
I would recommend it.
Yeah, you don't have to buy it. Macy will be able to give you a coupon that you can give to your buyers.
But
is it my?
I'd kind of like a generic link, you know, it's not.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Instead of giving her the names of the.
No, she can give, if you contact her, she can give you the code for your buyers. You don't have to give her their names.
Perfect. Okay. That's what I was getting at. Okay. Thank you so much. God bless you.
You don't have, even if you purchase them for the buyers. Cluster
Go ahead, Mary.
Even if you purchase them for the buyers, you don't have to give them the names. I purchased the block of 14, and then I give them to the owners as the puppies are going home. And those who have already paid for their puppy in full get it at that time. But I don't have to you just skip entering all the names and all the emails, and then you will receive all of the codes for the owners to have access.
Yeah. So you don't have to do names, but you can also just contact Macy, get the coupon. So Mary's buying all hers. You don't have to do that if you don't want to. Okay. Marilyn, 18 days to go.
Yep. She's, you know, getting big and round and doing great and starving and I did everything under the sun to make sure she was healthy going into this last breeding. And so far so good, knocking on wood.
Yep, I'm doing that right now.
Just keeps going that way. The ultrasound looked really good at 30 days. And I have her set up. Her whelping window is like 28, 29 August. So I have an appointment for an ultrasound on the 27th, just to check everything, make sure everything's looking good. But she's, you know, acting her normal self when she's pregnant.
Yay. So for those of you who have not followed Misty, she had a pyometra on her last season. And if I recall, Marilyn was away and it was sort of the normal, if anything can go wrong, it did go wrong, but they were able to treat her successfully and do the breeding. And typically after you treat a pyometra in one season, you do need to breed on the next season, which Marilyn did. And she's pregnant and happy, healthy. Yay.
As far as we know, yes. So here's hoping a nice size litter as well. So really happy about that.
And are you keeping a girl from this? Do I remember if we call you saying that?
Yes. I'm keeping a girl from it because I'm going to have to spay her.
Yeah.
Before her next heat cycle. So
yeah,
keeping a girl from her. Went to Wisconsin to have her bred this time instead of using my stud.
Yeah.
So I can get something that's, you know, outside my line because I kept one from him.
So, yeah, and now can you go back to him afterwards?
With this one, yes. With the female that I'm keeping, I could go back to him if I want to.
Terrific. Great. Oh, well, fingers crossed.
Yeah, now the other one would just come in. She's 2 months late.
Oh, she'll come in the 28th and 29th. So
well, that'll be one to travel to Florida. There you go.
Don't say that.
I know.
Great. Well, rubber belly for me.
I will do that. She wants it constantly.
Kelsey says I was getting a heavy overgrowth of E. coli in your dog's guts. Were you doing animal biome? How did you know about the overgrowth? Animal biome? Is that a yes?
Yes. Sorry.
No worries. So Animal Biome's a relatively new company now that just got purchased by some big company, and they analyze your dog's poop to see what bacteria are there, and then they plot it for you and tell you how it compares to healthy dogs. It's interesting. I don't know how strong the research is, but if you see an overgrowth in E. coli, so you got that rotating between Fortiflora and Geniflora added Previable and it solved the issue. Interesting. You know, we talk about rotating food, so rotating probiotics makes a lot of sense. Laura says, how long after the second round of puppy shots is it safe to attend puppy class? Laura, it all depends upon the nomograph. Is this one of your puppies?
Yes, and I didn't do a nomograph.
So there is no way to know when the puppy will be protected. So the second round of puppy shots are only protective if the maternal antibodies are low. So there's no way to know without a nomograph which of these shots is going to work. The only way you can tell is to do titer afterwards, 2 weeks afterwards. That said, most puppy classes are extremely safe. And it's one of the lowest risk places, believe it or not, for parvo and obviously distemper. Why do I say most? Because if you do a puppy class at a major training facility where people show a lot and they're gone every weekend showing and then they come to training and then they go show and they come to training, those aren't as safe. But if you go to sort of your normal puppy kindergarten class in a regular pet focused training class, they're quite safe. But they aren't safe because your puppy is protected by its second round of shots. They are safe because the vast majority of puppies have been vaccinated and it just isn't a high risk situation. That means still no dog parks, still no pet stores. Be careful at the vet. So puppy is not protected, but that's a pretty safe place for the puppy to be. If you don't have a nomograph, you really can't know that your puppy is safe until it's 18 weeks old and it's been titered and shown to be protected. So I just went through that because Nick, the puppy we're raising, didn't have a nomograph. And so it was, just had to give him a lot of vaccinations. Come to find out, I gave him a 15-week vaccine and pulled a titer at the same time, and he was fully protected at that 15-week point. I didn't have to give him that last vaccination, but there was no way to know, and I wanted to get him out. So So don't think about it as the vaccine making it safe. Think about the place that the puppies are, and that's really all you can do.
Thank you.
Good luck, have fun.
Thanks.
I love puppy class. Barbara says, after a miss this past June, vet noticed she couldn't do the TCI because she couldn't get past the cervix because it's so thick. Vet said she hadn't seen this before. Is there any hope the cervix could change from more normal consistency? An SI was performed but didn't take. Also, the vet never requested any tests for her uterus. Should that be done? So Barbara, I actually was thinking about you the other day and that thickened uterus, and I honestly don't know the answer to that. I'm looking to see, Renee, are you on? The two people I was thinking of was Renee. I don't even see if Barbara's there. I see an empty seat. Renee or Sandy Stokes, because Sandy's vet has always had some really interesting comments about placentas and things. But I think I'm talking to myself because I don't think Barbara's there. But Barbara, I would say that you should do a consult with Dr. Hutchinson at Northview. So let me pull up his here we go. Okay, I'm going to put the link to his clinic. Dr. Robert Hutchinson. And this is his clinic. And I think that is your best bet, because I think this is a pretty unusual, it's certainly not a case I've heard of before. With a single miss, I don't think I would be doing a uterine biopsy, but I know you really want to get her pregnant, so that's certainly an option, but I would do that consult first. I'd consult with Hutch and then decide whether you want to do a biopsy or not. Because it's abdominal surgery to go in and you're messing around with the uterus. So before you do that, I think I would talk to him. And he's quite good with consults and things like that. Okay, Kathleen. I feed raw and feed 5 times a day. Boy, those are lucky puppies. Sometimes they eat everything, sometimes they don't. Put them fresh each meal. I don't do fresh each meal, but I do fresh each day. So 5 times a day, that's a lot. You're a very kind person. I feed them 4 times a day and they should be lucky. No, I don't mean that, but Celeste saying she does 3 times a day. I've been known to do 3 times a day because I've fallen asleep. But I don't think they need to be fed 5 times a day, especially if they're not scarfing everything down. I think that's great. And I think that's what puppies do. Sometimes they eat it all. Sometimes they don't. It's normal. It's nothing to worry about. Let's see. On the August, oh, there we go. Casey had the code. There you go, Celeste. You see it? PC85 to get puppy college for $150. Please don't share the coupon code. Yeah. This is why I tell everybody, don't ask me about customer service stuff. Contact Macy, because she's the expert. And I can't remember all this stuff. So PC85, Celeste, and they'll get $85 off. Mary says, what's the best age to spay to avoid pio? I've got some owners with intact non-breeding bitches approaching 4. I'm looking to see if I see you, Mary. Are you, do you want to unmute? Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I'm here.
The risk of pio for the vast, vast, vast majority of bitches really doesn't come into play until 4, 6, 8. But at 4, they've gotten a lot of benefit from those hormones. you know, we don't have an end date yet where they've gotten enough. We don't know that tipping point.
Well, all of the golden retriever studies has so many people frightened about doing a full spay on their female goldens. And in the last year, just trying to get a regular vet appointment, let alone go to someone who will do just a hysterectomy and leave the ovaries, has just been really difficult. But I have a friend who went on vacation and left her 12-year-old intact dog with her daughter. The dog got lethargic. The daughter finally took the dog in. Her temperature was almost 105, and they just said she wouldn't even survive surgery. She had a pyo and she died at almost 13 years of age. And so I think about these owners trying to balance having hormones for protection, when to spay, when not to spay. They're all commenting how they really love having a dog that they don't have to starve to keep in shape. But my concern is at one point, one of these dogs is going to pop with a pyo, and the owner, you know, if it's closed, they're not going to know.
We lost a wonderful bitch in Southern California 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Five to a pyo. And her owner was a breeder earlier, you know, a sophisticated breeder. They got her in. They knew it was happening. They got her in, and she ended up in kidney failure after the spay. So it is an issue. And I always feel pretty good if I can get owners to four. That feels like a good age. Now, Dr. Waters with the old gray muzzle tour, he didn't find a maximum point in Rottweilers where they would no longer benefit from the hormones. But at the same time, I think your concern is really valid. And I had a friend who lost a 13-year-old to pyo because she had insisted upon not spaying her and not spaying her, and she was going to be fine, and she couldn't handle the surgery. That's always our risk, is that as the dog becomes a senior in a geriatric, now the challenge is, and if anybody follows Laura Reeves, one of my fellow breeders in Good Dog, her 10-year-old Chihuahua pyoed and was not stable enough. They've been treating the pyo, trying to get to restabilize her so that they could do the surgery. But it's a really real, very, very real risk as they really hit their senior years. Bichon Goldens is going to be 7 or 8. But you're right, you know, 4, 5, 6, we just see that increasing.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, is that they all feel like they are doing the right thing. And once they got the first heat cycle under their belt, they feel like, oh, I got this. And it wasn't as scary as they thought. You know, I just feel like this big axe is hanging over the heads of all of these female intact dogs that, you know, they're just, you know, at some point it's going to happen to somebody. And, you know, if your dog dies young from cancer or dies young from pyo, who cares? They're dead. It's going to be really hard for them. And so I just, I have taken Sailor in for a freeze collection next week. I was going to talk to Dr. Christensen about it. And I think,
yeah,
I just
see
need
what he says.
Make some phone calls. Yeah.
And share that with us. I will tell you a really interesting thing we had happen last week. So got a 10-year-old from my breeding, and her owner reached out and said, lethargic, energy down. Clearly the dog isn't feeling well. It's a golden retriever. So what does 100% of the world think?
Oh, sure enough. Yeah. Okay.
Of course. Then she's got hemangio. So they ultrasound. And she has a mass, abdominal mass. Mm-hmm. So she reaches out, you know, what should I do? And we go through the 40% of splenic tumors are benign, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm like, if I had a healthy 10-year-old, I would do the surgery. They go in, and she had a stump pyometra from her OSS, her ovary sparing spay, from 2.5 years ago.
Oh. Yeah. And see, that was the thing that Dr. Christensen said is a real risk if the hysterectomy, if you leave anything, they can get a
bio. Any of the cervix.
Any. They have to, yeah. And so, so
that the mass was the pie.
Right. So it wasn't the big scary C-word, but.
Thank goodness that they actually were going to go in and take her spleen out, because otherwise they wouldn't have found that pile.
Wow.
So yeah. So I think you're right. We're just damned if we do, damned if we don't, and damned if we go halfway. You know, there's like no easy solution for golden bitches right now. Well, now, if you look at the heart study, they say golden bitches up to 8 should not be spayed. They benefit from not being spayed.
Right.
But you're right. You know, it's kind of, is it a ticking time bomb at 4 or 5? Probably not. I mean, those are rare pios.
But well, you know,
subtle, as you know,
in the history of my girls, yeah, my girls have usually been spayed around 8 or so, you know, and we've had 15 and 16 year old girls regularly. So I kind of feel pretty good about them getting, you know, if they can get to 7 or 8, they're in really good shape. But, you know, I just, especially when I, like I said, I talked to a friend who'd been gone in her 12-year-old, that she decided not to spay after her, she was done having puppies. And because the last one that she did got fat. And, you know, you just have to feed them differently. You have to feed the body that they have, not what they were before they, you know, when they had all the parts.
But it is a lot less than some bitches. I was thinking about it today because I'm feeding that little 25-pound boy in there 3.5 to 4 ounces a meal. And that's, he's 25 pounds. And yeah, that's what I was feeding Glee at 62 pounds, 3.5 to 4 ounces a meal. With not much food.
I'm trying to think of how much I fed Tessa, and I was making her food. Now I can't even remember how much I was feeding her when she was 16 and a half and she passed. And it wasn't much because she was spayed during an emergency C-section. And 3 weeks after the puppies went home, she was a sausage. She just went. And I looked at her and you know how I am about body weight on dogs. And I
didn't know that.
Yes, I was just horrified. She was a 57 to 59 pound bitch that weighed 80 pounds. And when she looked like a sausage. I kid you not. And it took me 6 months to figure it out. And I have such, oh gosh, it was awful. And so, you know, I have one owner, I keep talking to her about it. And she says, well, you know, this is my first dog that's not fat. I don't want a spayer. And, you know, there's some merit to that. But
well, I would talk to Dr. Christensen and then will you share that with us?
I will.
Because I'll be really, really interested. I don't think there's an easy answer. And I think the concerns work every way.
Yeah. And then another time, I know we're running late here, but I have, we just did our APET on the 14th. And I have never had so many forgiving puppies.
I'm
just go over in the lap. I mean, Star was you know, the bitch to this litter, our first APET, she looked at Tim, found the breeder exit and was halfway down the driveway before we caught her. I mean, she is so unforgiving. And we've got
Canuck.
Yeah.
I wonder what he is.
Well, I don't know, but you know, he sired some Otches. And
yeah, well, it's not like forgiving dogs can't do amazing things. They just need different
so we'll see, but it was, now I'm scratching my head on placements, so that's all
coaching. It's all about coaching. Okay, so Janet says, was the cervix or uterus thickened? That's for Barbara. I think you missed my entire discussion. Hi there, I think you were gone.
I'm sorry, we have family thing come up.
My recommendation was that you reach out and do a consult with Dr. Robert Hutchinson, Hutch. I put his website in the chat, so cruise through the chat and grab that. I would do that before you do anything else. And you can do a consult with him or your vet can do a consult with him. But I really think he would be the one I turn to say, okay, what do you think this means? And what would be your next steps? So that I don't know the answer to the thickened cervix. I really don't. And so go to Bob and let us know what he says. And he's really helpful.
All right, thank you.
So Janet's asking, said a friend lost a litter. Vet said the pups died since nutrients couldn't pass through due to the thickened uterus. I've never heard of that. Do you have any idea what that means? My guess is, Janet, and this is purely a guess, is that it is CEH. It was from CEH, cystic endometrial hyperplasia, where the endometrius, the lining, the cells on the inside of the uterus change. They become hyperplastic, so that's thickening, and there are too many of them, and they're very inhospitable to puppies. Often you won't even get a bitch pregnant. That's why when we say you should do a surgical on a bitch that's missed a lot, so that the vet can look at the uterus to see if there are cysts or thickening in it. They can feel it. They're not looking as much as they're feeling. It's a really common issue in older bitches, but in some bitches and some lines, it can happen early. And so that's possibly what it was. That would be the most common explanation. Kathleen says, I want to skip my female's next heat cycle in the fall and then breed them back to back again next year. They're 4 years old, turning five early next year. They've each had two litters. Are they at risk for pio because of their ages? Yes, they are. It does appear that these earlier pios are more likely in bitches that have never been bred. No one knows why. And five isn't particularly old, so it wouldn't concern me tremendously, but we always need to be on the lookout for pio. I had a bitch I bred that pioed on her very first season. Very rare, extremely unusual, but possible. And so, yeah, just keep an eye out for them, but that sounds like a fine plan. Hey, Kathleen, did you just unmute? I saw you click. I can't hear you if you're, let me see. Okay, there you go. You wanna try again? I see you're unmuting, but I can't hear you. Okay. So, yes, there's a risk, but is it a crazy risk? No, I don't think so. It's just something we always have to be on the lookout for. Janet says, I knew of cysts, but hadn't heard it described that way. So there's a paper that's out that says there's this spectrum from normal uterus through this development of CEH, cystic endometrial hyperplasia. And then some of those cells were turned into cysts. So sort of large pockets, fluid filled cells, those definitely are completely inhospitable to puppies, but vets can pop them and you can get a bitch pregnant, although she's typically not going to have a particularly large litter. She may not get pregnant, but it's possible. And then this paper put the other end of the spectrum as pio, but there's some great debate, you know, so it sort of progresses through these uterine changes to the lining of the uterus to pio. But that doesn't appear to be all of the reasons the bitch is pio, you know, so that may be some of the reason that we have this progression of cellular changes through this lining change to cyst to pio. And then in some cases, there are other reasons for pios. So there's just so much we don't know. I guess that's the best way to say it. We just really don't have a great answer to all of it. But that may explain why the puppies were lost. Okay, guys. There we go. I'm sorry if the internets are giving people challenges tonight. Last call for questions. I think I've answered everything in the chat. Okay.
Gail. So,
hey, hi Lynn.
Question. My one female, she seemed to come and heat a little bit, but she didn't, I don't know, it was so hot here. They were like 2 months behind, but I'm just wondering, like, she's acting fine, but if she bled very much, she didn't bleed. She kept it really clean. So she didn't get bred. I was hoping to breed her, but anyways. Just what's the best thing to just, she's doing fine, but just to watch her. I don't want
to. When was this?
I had it once before, and I don't ever want it again. Come here, girl.
When did she appear to come in season, Lynn?
About 2 weeks ago.
So your best bet's actually to run her in and get a progesterone test to tell you if she ovulated or if she's having a split heat.
Okay.
Because she may not have ovulated. And not unusual. I don't know if the weather can cause it, but split heats aren't that unusual. So the bitch comes in season, doesn't ovulate, goes out of season, then 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 months later, comes back in season and finishes the season. Ovulates, can get bred the second time. If you breed them on the first part of their heat, they won't get pregnant. If you breed them on the second split, they can get pregnant. But if you, so how do you tell if she's ovulated or not? You go in, do a progesterone. If it's 15 or higher, she ovulated during that heat.
Okay.
If it's below 15, she didn't ovulate. And if it's below 15, it's probably going to be at 3, 2, or even less.
Okay. Okay.
So that's what I would do, because otherwise you really don't know what you're dealing with. And you still, you know, may be able to breed her on the second part of that split.
Well, like the two younger dogs came in heat, and I bred one with the other dog that I had visiting, but he bred the sable. He wouldn't breed the blue. So she didn't get bred. But then she had her whole other thing go on, so maybe it's a good thing she didn't get bred. Holly got bred by my stud, and he was sniffing Belle, but Belle just was like completely ignoring him. And I don't, yeah. I know a little bit out of sorts because we had these other dogs here. But I don't know.
Yeah, I would just. Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of an investment to run that single progesterone, but it might be worth it just to tell you where you're at.
Yeah. I mean, she's actually fine, but I don't ever want to go through that pio again. It was very... Yeah.
It's challenging. Yeah. Yeah.
But actually, I went through it when my dog was actually at my grandparents, because I was traveling and I was 1,000 miles away trying to talk to the vet, and the vet wouldn't answer my phone calls. I was sort of mad.
That's pretty scary. Well, let us know. Post it, whatever your results are. And good luck with your girls.
Thanks.
Starlet says, what age do you suggest to stop breeding a dam? We have a 5-year-old that's had 5 litters. She's a good mama. You know, I think a lot of it depends upon the bitch, Starlet. And if you have, you know, so you have to sort of look at your breeding program. Have you gotten what you need to get? Is she still in really good condition? Is she still really fit? A lot of people say for a dog that's bred regularly, 6 years or five litters, typically five litters is considered the max number of litters. 6 years, if you start at two, that's usually kind of a typical number. But there isn't a, it's just not a hard and fast answer to that. It really, you have to look at the dog and her health and her condition and make a decision on that. I do think, you know, once we've hit five or six litters and our bitches are hitting their senior years, then it's probably a good time to quit. And anytime the bitch is not healthy, rebounding quickly from the litter, except for coat, we know that can take a while, but if her muscle mass and her health and her just physical well-being is compromised, then it's time to quit as well. Angela asked, is there a resource to find out the age of pyo risk for my breed? Yeah, that's a really good question, Angela. So the only real research we have was done in Scandinavia, Sweden, I think. And if you hang on one second, I'll see if I can find that paper, because they listed the breeds that had a tendency to have higher pyometra. And the benefit of Sweden is that they require all dogs to be insured. Here we go. Man, I found it that quickly. Oops, except it's, let's see if you can get the PDF. Go through an advertisement. Yeah, looks like I have, yeah, here you go. So I'm gonna put it in the chat, grab it so that when we, shut down the call. There you go. So everybody grab that and let me see if I can see Pyrenees. They didn't, you know, they only listed, I don't see peers. No, it doesn't look like there was enough of peers to. So it looks like the highest risk were rough collies, maybe. I'm just glancing at this. Rough collies and rotties. Some of the lowest were dachshunds, and then age is pretty strong. So you can take a look at that. It, other than that study, we don't have a whole lot of information by breed. We have a couple of studies on it, but they're only on a few breeds. And so it is a frustration. The benefit of Scandinavia is that all dogs have to be insured, and so we get a lot more complete data rather than just, yeah, I'm seeing Korean mountain dogs, but I'm not seeing Great Pyrenees. Oh, there's a Finnish one too. Hang on, association. Let me pull that up for Finnish dogs. And you guys can grab that if I can get the PDF. Eh, no. All I can do is the abstract on that. So I'll try and pull that up later for you. Okay, so there's a couple that you can pull up on the risk of pyometra in our breeds and by age and various things. But we don't have any comparable studies in the United States, so we don't quite have that balanced approach, unfortunately. Okay, guys. We have hit our time. Great call. You guys are last people standing on this Tuesday night in August. And I'm going to head out, but it was great talking to everybody. As always, a good call. Nicole will have the video up probably by Thursday. So I didn't get the whole thing recorded, but hopefully there's enough that your questions will be answered. It was great to see everybody. Thanks, guys.